Now, here's your host, Tom Donahue, an investigative broadcaster and a man on a mission.
Good day and welcome, America and beyond. I'm Tom Donahue, Tom Donahue Show, Tom Donahue Reports. So glad you can be with us for this edition this week. Well, a tale of two cities, two parties, couldn't be more opposite, diametrically opposed. There was a time when, remember, it was described that there wasn't a dime's worth of difference between the two parties, and I think there was a little bit more than that, but nevertheless, these were two, at one time, corporate parties. These were two parties that, yeah, they had some fundamental philosophical differences, but they did participate and partner on a lot of things. But this now, these times, with Donald Trump as president, the Republican Party has become a real party of distinction. And the Republican Party has become the party of Donald Trump, which, in effect, has become the American Party, as opposed to the other party, which is the un-American Party. It's become the Patriot Party. It's become the Populist Party. It's become the America First Party. It's become the party of more the average American, the working class and middle class American, but all Americans, if you cherish liberty and if you embrace freedom and you believe in traditions and you truly believe in life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Now, on the other side, it's lockdown nation, it's dependency and life dictated by the Democrat Party, by government, Big Brother, and that if you are on the right and you have peaceful protest, well, that's considered dangerous. But if you're on the left, the progressive side, and you want to loot and riot, that's peaceful protest. That's racial justice. Now, when I look back on the Democrat, the DNC's convention, it looked like a Zoom festival. You know, all these little boxes and people that you could tell that there were so many pre-taped, pre-planned, out-of-date programs. I mean, even Michelle Obama didn't even mention Kamala Harris because it was pre-taped. I mean, that's, the Dems won't even, they don't even criticize that. Like, something that important, that she wouldn't have gone in, they wouldn't have gone into the editing room and added a couple more minutes. I'm now looking at the sophisticated production by the RNC because of Donald Trump's influence, because of his being so celebrity and TV savvy and bringing in producers, it's so much different. I mean, I have to say that not only the content of the RNC, the Republican National Convention, but stylistically, it's so superior to its competition. But I have to tell you that I never got really excited about any of the conventions before. I mean, I watched them because being a political observer, being a talk host, and being concerned about our country and its direction. But man, I'll tell you, you know how the left wants to purge and whitewash history? Well, the Republican Party, because of Donald Trump, has kind of done that. Now, Trump did have Bob Dole at 2016 because Bob Dole was a wartime vet and he was someone that supported Trump, surprisingly, an establishment Republican, one of the few. And you have no Bushes, no Cheneys. But yeah, so the Bush-Cheney era, the dynasty, non-existent. Now, there are references to Reagan, which is understandable and certainly commendable. But really, it's really kind of this party is transformed. It's a reformation. I mean, it is a rebirth of this party. I used to always have complete and utter disdain for both, even though, at least philosophically, in many instances, I agreed with the Republicans, at least in terms of their rhetoric, but the reality was always somewhat different. So I have to tell you that, and again, I suspect that the Republican Party, whether it's, you know, right after this election or after the 2024, but I think the Republican Party is going to want to revert back. I mean, look at the Democrat Party. They continue to bring out Carter, the Clintons, the Obamas. You know, I mean, they definitely reach back. I mean, their bullpen is stocked with antiquities, stocked with obsolete models. So this is really big news. I don't know how many people are focusing on the fact that this is not the Republican Party, the RNC that people know. Matter of fact, they scrapped the platform. Yeah, they just said, hey, it's Donald Trump's party, essentially. And it's America First, and that's it. So you gotta love that. I mean, we're talking about a revolution in this party. I mean, Donald Trump has done, and I talked about this years ago. I said the only way that we can truly affect change, sadly, I hoped and wished that we could do it through a third party or multi-party or, you know, some opposition to the party. But I said it's going to be through infiltration, and that someone that is going to have to more or less do a hijacking of the party. And that's what Donald Trump did. It was sort of like a corporate hostile takeover. And he's remade the party in his image, but it's in the ideology and the philosophy of many of us that were fighting back in the 90s for America First and for populism and for our constitutional republic and for more pure, non-adulterated liberty and freedom's sake. So, wow, how things have changed. The RNC has just completed its second night. I have to say, almost from top to bottom, I could do without Eric Trump. You know, I think too many of the Trump kids, a little bit overkill, and not to my liking, not to my taste. But, hey, whatever. Let's say 90% of the speakers, I have loved. I have found it to be informative, entertaining, inspiring, interesting. I don't know how you folks feel about this, but that's what I miss with doing a live call-in show and getting more immediate interaction and reaction. But I'm just completely blown away. I'm truly impressed. I have thoroughly enjoyed this. I've been captivated. But stylistically, and Trump just saying, hey, we're going to... I mean, they're broadcasting from monuments. They're broadcasting from the White House. You know, they're broadcast... And Trump's got all these vignettes. I mean, it's Trump, Trump, and more Trump. I mean, he appears so many different times. You got to love this. I mean, this is better than reality TV, but it's... I think it's working. I'm feeling still cautiously optimistic, but more so optimistically that Trump's going to pull this off again. That Trump will beat basement Biden. And I'll tell you, some of these young, rising superstars within the RNC, I mean, within the Republican Party now, and many of them are men and women of color, you know, that are different races, that I'll tell you, they are bright, they are talented, they have levels of accomplishment, they're inspiring, they're really fantastic people. So yeah, I have to say that I have been impressed, I have been drawn in to, and yes, I do watch it because I'm a political observer and commentator, but this is a wow kind of event. I mean, this is a spectacle, but it's not fluff. I mean, there's a lot of red meat. I mean, there's speakers that, I mean, are blowing the doors off. Now, the Democrats, in all fairness, I mean, they had some moments. They had some headliners and some average folks like the RNC's doing that chimed in. But there were just too many of these little boxes and too many people that were pre-taped. And it just came across like an infomercial late night. Even the late night so-called comedians, quote-unquote, because I don't find them generally to be very funny, and they're not of the caliber of a Johnny Carson, etc. They weren't as impressed with the production value. Maybe some of the content of the speakers. And then they had glitches, and it wasn't well produced. I'm telling you, if nights 3 and 4 of the RNC of this convention is anywhere near, and I suspect it will be, you know, as good, then this is a home run. This is major league. I mean, I think it's phenomenal promotion, and I think it, in large part, optimistic, solutions and results driven, record driven, and drawing a stark contrast to what the other side is saying, promoting. So, wow, Melania Trump did a great job tonight. I mean, Kimberly Guilfoyle, she was yelling a little bit. It was a little bit, the volume of her speech was higher than I would like to hear in terms of the information, in terms of her denunciations and protestations and what she was exposing and what she was defending. It was quite good. But sometimes, again, we can talk about style, tone, and tenor beyond just content. But you got a lot of women, and again, I hope it's not taken the wrong way, but are very attractive, very telegenic, and very articulate, and very interesting in terms of what they're presenting. I mean, there's just a lot of impressive people, and many of them are younger people, and like I say, many of them are people that are minorities, that really get it. I mean, that really explain it, that really have done a fantastic job in their speeches, in their presentations, and all I can say is, I'm impressed. Mr. President, you and your team and the RNC has done a great job. Hold tight, more to come, we'll be right back.
TalkRight, the conservative app offered by TalkStream Live that caters exclusively to the conservative talk radio community. Here you'll see only talk shows and podcasts from the conservative right, all the big broadcast names and online digital shows in one place. TalkRight makes it easy to find all your favorite conservative talkers with all the upscale features you come to expect from TalkStream Live. Keep up with the fast-paced political world. Download TalkRight today from Google Play or the App Store.
Hey, is that a new music app?
Yeah, check it out. Surfer Music Discovery. It links to thousands of online stations, but the twist is you see the song names and artists that are now playing live.
That's different. No guessing. Looks like a waterfall of music.
So many formats. Rock, oldies, country, R&B, jazz, and a whole lot more.
How's that spelled?
Surfer. S-U-R-F-R.
Is it expensive?
It's free. No need to sign up or sign in.
Get the Surfer Music app free from Google Play or the App Store.
Let's get back to the Tom Donahue Show. Always authentic, independent-minded, and truth-seeking.
Okay, we're back. Tom Donahue, Tom Donahue Reports, Tom Donahue Show. So glad you are with us. And I'm discussing the conventions, RNC versus DNC, and I'm not going to go through every speech. I'm not going to give you every thumbs up and thumbs down. And what I'm trying to do is give you more of an overview and things that I think are more takeaways than anything else. But I'm just looking at the roster here of the speakers for the first night. And Senator Tim Scott knocked it out of the park, Republican U.S. Senator. Terrific speech, especially when he referenced the fact that his family went from picking cotton to Congress. That was a very memorable line, and even the Dems had to admit to that. Everything the Republicans were saying had to do with opportunity and optimism and building a better America based on, you know, continuing to evolve, continuing to improve. Not going back and destroying and erasing and canceling. Former UN ambassador and former South Carolina governor Nikki Haley gave a pretty good speech too. And this was someone that wasn't really that in favor of Trump. I mean, they had a little bit of a rocky road at the early goings. And then, you know, he brought her into the administration and she became a born again America firster and really stood up to America's enemies at the United Nations. And I know that there have been a few areas when she resigned that she was a little bit critical of Trump, but not so much. And there was a call from, not the Never Trumpers, but, you know, some that were thinking Mike Pence is a little vanilla, a little maybe not as exciting, and maybe to appeal to more women and also minorities. Maybe Nikki Haley would replace Mike Pence. Which Trump's a loyal guy. If you're in his good graces, he's not going to just dump you just for political purposes. So no, I didn't believe that Mike Pence was going to be replaced. And in fact, On night two, they had Mike Pence in various locations interviewing and, you know, just, you know, talking with, meeting with various families and individuals based on, you know, some of the problems they've had or tragedies, and also what Trump has done for them, either individually or collectively as a society based on his policies. And those of you that are unaware, Mike Pence was a radio talk show host, and he did a very popular show out of Indianapolis, Indiana. And when he had a failed, originally he had a failed congressional campaign, but he'd been a guest on many shows. That led him to be a talk show host for several years. And then he decided, which was smart because now he had greater name recognition, he had a larger following, and he still had that yearning to serve. And so then he did win election and became congressman. And then, of course, he became governor. But Mike Pence did a fantastic job of interacting, being a very good interviewer. And so those skills did pay off. So that was kind of cool. But, yeah, I just think that the amount of time, and remember, this is a Romney that's run the RNC. And I have to give her a lot of credit. I mean, having that last name of Romney and being related to Mitt, she has been very loyal. And she's not done anything for her uncle as it relates to this party. She is a Romney, but she's the Republican National Committee chairwoman. Has done a great job with the party and has a great relationship with Trump. So it's kind of ironic that you've got a Romney that is running the RNC and is got such a great working relationship with Trump as opposed to her uncle. So very interesting. Anyway, back to some of the speakers. There's this Kim Klasick. And I don't know if you've maybe even seen the commercials and you've seen her as a guest on some of the Fox programs, but very young, very attractive black woman, very conservative, super smart. And she put together these videos going through Baltimore because she's running for Congress, showing what the Democrats have done or have not done in terms of abject neglect for the inner city circumstances there in Baltimore. And she's got these high heels and she's dressed very nicely, and she's, you know, strolling along, and, you know, I don't know if she had any bodyguards there, but yeah, I mean, it's very, very slick. I mean, very, you know, stylistically, it's a great produced video promotion for her campaign. But anyway, she gave a very good speech as well. And Donald Trump Jr., I mean, he gave a lot of red meat. As opposed to Eric, he is a better speaker, but I just think that he's got too much family, too much nepotism, if you will, in a sense, being represented. But hey, it's a family business, you know, and hey, I'm glad they're out there fighting for their dad. I'm glad they're out there fighting for our country. I vehemently oppose them in terms of being trophy hunters and big game hunters. And it's kind of odd in a sense that you have Kimberly Guilfoyle that was part of the Five and she was on Fox, and I don't remember all the particulars, but she was sending some raunchy emails. I mean, the email seemed to indicate that, yeah, well, let's use the word raunchy, you know. And I think this was before, or actually it was before, she was dating Donald Trump Jr. And then she was even with the Scamooch. Remember that piece of garbage? Trump made a huge mistake there, making him a press secretary for what, I think it was 10 or 11 days, you know. Total fiasco. But she was married to now Governor of California, Governor Newsom. And so, I don't know, she's kind of, I mean, she's a beautiful woman, but, and she's smart, and she's got a lot of feistiness, and she gave a powerful speech. It was combative, but when people are, when they're speaking, and I don't mind the emotion and the passion, that's great, but when they start that yelling, or the decibels get too high, or their eyes are about ready to pop out of their head. Some people thought maybe she needed to switch over to decaf. I don't know. But, well, she got a lot of press coverage, even though she got a lot of criticism. And I don't remember all the words, but the majority of the speech that I recall, I agreed with. But I'm glad that she's out on the campaign trail, and I'm glad that she's fighting for Donald Trump's reelection. So that's a good thing. Jim Jordan did a really, really good job. I mean, he gave a tremendous speech. And, wow, what a defense and character witness he was for Donald Trump. and what he knows in terms of that relationship and his accomplishments. Georgia State Representative Vernon Jones, Democrat, very, very credible and very brave to be supporting Donald Trump. Rand Paul gave a good speech. Rand Paul was right on the money. I mean, I have knocked him in the past for not going far enough on exposing the Federal Reserve, like his father. He didn't support his father unconditionally. You know, he backed Romney early on, and I thought that was wrong, and I thought that was a sellout, and he cut a deal with Mitch McConnell and Romney. But that was the end. This is now, and I didn't realize that Rand Paul had a relationship with Donald Trump prior to the 2016 campaign season. But he described, and if you watched the RNC on night two, he said that because he is an ophthalmologist, he has gone to Haiti and he's gone to other impoverished countries and was able to perform cataract surgeries on a volunteer basis. But those trips, you know, in terms of backing those trips, cost money. And Donald Trump supported his efforts on two different trips. So Donald Trump had a good relationship with him until they became opponents, and that's when the gloves came off. But then I think now I understand why maybe there was a little bit of a relationship with those two, because they had a history prior to that. But yeah, Rand Paul he's not a charismatic speaker, but the information and what he shared was very good. Tiffany Trump, okay, you know. But there were a lot of Joes and Janes that were interdispersed and that really hit it home in terms of what Trump has done to change their lives and how they depend on the Trump economy and the different things that Trump has done throughout his term in office. And there are many accomplishments. I'd like to see him be a little more strategic and stay focused and less on the Twitter, but nevertheless, the amount of time he does spend fighting for our rights, fighting for our country, is certainly remarkable and certainly commendable. More to come. Hold tight. Right back.
TalkRight, the conservative app offered by TalkStream Live that caters exclusively to the conservative talk radio community. Here you'll see only talk shows and podcasts from the conservative right, all the big broadcast names and online digital shows in one place. TalkRight makes it easy to find all your favorite conservative talkers with all the upscale features you come to expect from TalkStream Live. Keep up with the fast-paced political world. Download TalkRight today from Google Play or the App Store.
Hey, is that a new music app?
Yeah, check it out. Surfer Music Discovery. It links to thousands of online stations, but the twist is you see the song names and artists that are now playing live.
That's different. No guessing. Looks like a waterfall of music.
So many formats. Rock, oldies, country, R&B, jazz, and a whole lot more.
How's that spelled?
Surfer. S-U-R-F-R.
Is it expensive?
It's free. No need to sign up or sign in.
Get the Surfer Music app free from Google Play or the App Store.
Now, back to the Tom Donahue Show, putting America first and patriotism in action.
We are back. Tom Donahue, Tom Donahue Show, Tom Donahue Reports, putting America first, New World Order dead last, man on a mission, patriotism in action, liberty lover, freedom fighter. That is me and probably you if you're listening, tuning in to this program. Okay, there were some powerful speakers that I mentioned a few of them. I want to just touch on some others. Herschel Walker praises Trump's character. I'm seeing more and more people of color, in particular, black Americans, that are standing up for Trump. and that are unafraid and unabashed. And it's very welcoming. And I'm appreciative of the fact that these are people that are standing up and speaking their truth and speaking the truth. And I mentioned Kimberly Guilfoyle's delivering of pretty strong, you know, speech. And according to media, they said that she delivered an RNC barn burner. And this is what Newsmax had to say relating to Kimberly's quote. She says, "We build things up. We don't burn them down." Yeah, she had a lot of really potent lines. And I'm glad she spoke, you know. I mean, if you listen to some of the women that speak, especially some of the Democrats, they turned up the volume. And some of them had voices that were not so pleasant, that were screeching, that were squealing. So I can take someone that maybe their tone is in volume is a little bit higher in decibel level, but I just think it came more from the fact that she is so passionate and so intense and so dedicated that she just gave it her all. So I'm glad she did. But they had Cuban Americans, they had Hispanic Americans, they had people of Indian descent, people of obviously African American. And Kimberly was talking about the fact that her parents came from Puerto Rico. So there were people that it was multi-racial, multi-ethnic in representation. And so all this nonsense that the Republican Party is white supremacist, the Republican Party and people that support Donald Trump are just pasty white, that are elitist, really got it wrong. I mean, Donald Trump really does appeal to the working class, the middle class, you know, the impoverished class as well. People that just want to get a break, that want to, not a handout, but a hand up, and they want an opportunity. They're not looking for a predetermined outcome. They're just an opportunity to compete. Laura Ingraham on the first nights, she lauded the RNC opening night as a breath of fresh air after the DNC's America is a Racist Nightmare. Dana Perino, press secretary for Bush, she praised Senator Tim Scott from South Carolina as a national treasure after he gave a very powerful address. But the GOP and the RNC, this convention has showcased rising stars, you know, future power brokers in the Republican Party. And the fact is that, as I mentioned earlier in the broadcast, that this is a transformed party. I mean, this is a reformation. There was a revolution and a hostile takeover by Donald Trump. I mean, lawfully and legally, of course. But nevertheless, this is no longer the party of Bush. It's not even the party of Reagan, because even though there are some Reagan, I mean, there are some remnants and there are some good things that Reagan did for the Republican Party and for America. But Donald Trump, Twitter aside, he seems, I don't know if you've watched him and how he relates to people when they come to the Oval Office, or he's, you know, signing a bill, or he's giving a pardon, or, but he just seems to relate to the average person. And seems to, when they say he's not empathetic, well, I don't think he's putting on a show. I think he really likes people. I know he likes people to like him, but it just seems to me that he enjoys meeting people and talking to people and helping people, and that's a good thing. I continue to learn more about Donald Trump, the man. And I'll tell you, with even the criticism that I've had in terms of his personality and the Twitter overuse and sometimes not being as prepared and as strategic, this guy, I really do believe he is a patriot. I really believe he loves his country. I really believe he's in it for the right reasons. I'm more energized and inspired, and this is just day two of the convention. Wow, wait till three and four. I'm just really impressed with what they put together here. Beyond, you know, its presentation in terms of its style and in terms of the packaging and the promotion, it's almost seamless. This is better produced than most Hollywood movies or the Emmys or the Grammys or the, you know, these award shows. And I mean, this is light years ahead of Sunshine versus Darkness too. of what the DNC produced. But yeah, it just seemed like it was like the Hollywood squares and these Zoom boxes. It was just grievances and gripes. There really wasn't rays of light and hope and optimism. I didn't see that. And it was all about denouncing Donald Trump and attacking Donald Trump and attacking America and our past and our history. And it was depressing. So back to my main point. If there was no COVID, this would be a blowout. And Trump would win convincingly no matter how many people hated Trump. But I think Trump, in terms of criminal justice reform, pardons, opportunity zones, the best economic numbers for all races and all backgrounds until the China virus hit. And even with this China virus, you're seeing that the economy, and even though it's not completely reopened, it's resurging and rebounding again. As Trump says, make America great again and again. He's going to have a second opportunity, which he's already in phase two, to bring us back bigger and better. I love Biden's expression, build back better. Yeah, how can you build back better? More regulations, more taxes. You're hostage to the un-American party. That party's been hijacked by the most intolerant and the most radical and the most insane and most unhinged people on the planet. So basement Biden is going to be Joe the puppet that'll be programmed. I mean, when you have AOC, the squad, these sinister and diabolical forces that are going to be pulling your strings, that are going to be the ones holding you hostage based on agenda, and Bernie Sanders said it. As soon as Joe Biden is elected, they already have the programs in place that they're going to impress upon him that he has to deliver. So whether it's climate change, whether it's higher taxes, greater regulation, we're talking about massive, you know, prolonged depression if Biden is elected. I mean, he's complete captive to these forces. And, you know, I'm just convinced that no matter what, somehow, some way, we have to give it our all to get Trump reelected. Our livelihoods, our lives, and our nation depends on it. Right back, hold tight.
Right, the conservative app offered by TalkStream Live that caters exclusively to the conservative talk radio community. Here you'll see only talk shows and podcasts from the conservative right, all the big broadcast names and online digital shows in one place. TalkRight makes it easy to find all your favorite conservative talkers with all the upscale features you come to expect from TalkStream Live. Keep up with the fast-paced political world. Download TalkRight today from Google Play or the App Store.
Hey, is that a new music app?
Yeah, check it out. Surfer Music Discovery. It links to thousands of online stations, but the twist is you see the song names and artists that are now playing live.
That's different. No guessing. Looks like a waterfall of music.
So many formats. Rock, oldies, country, R&B, jazz, and a whole lot more.
How's that spelled?
Surfer. S-U-R-F-R.
Is it expensive?
It's free. No need to sign up or sign in.
Get the Surfer Music app free from Google Play or the App Store.
Now, back to the Tom Donahue Show, putting America first and patriotism in action.
All right, welcome back. Tom Donahue, Tom Donahue Show, Tom Donahue Reports, liberty lover, freedom fighter, putting America first and foremost. Let's go right back to the RNC and what I've observed and my reflections thus far. And again, I want to reiterate, this is not the Republican Party or the RNC that I could remember it really has been remodeled and has been not just renovated, but and not just restored, but literally it has been completely rebuilt. So it had to be dismantled, and Donald Trump did that, the bull in the China closet, and the disruptor in chief. And you can see that Donald Trump, with all the other things he's doing as president, he had a hand in all this, and I have to give the RNC a lot of credit, but Donald Trump has made multiple appearances, and I love some of these vignettes of Donald Trump. So he has pardon, he has an immigration naturalization swearing in, he's got various functions going on that are interwoven, which is pretty amazing. He's come out and spoken to more to the camera, but there have been some audiences. I have to tell you that they haven't missed a beat. I mean, this is a major, a very slick, very sophisticated, very well produced convention. Compared to the Democrats in these little Hollywood Square Zoom boxes, and the glitches, and besides the pity party and the grievances and the dark and dreariness of the Dems and the demonic nature of the DNC's event, with a few exceptions perhaps, but I'm really loving the way the RNC and Donald Trump has put together their convention, which is unconventional. I mean, you got the White House as a backdrop for some of it. You've got national monuments. You've got various D.C. locations. And also, the thing I didn't really stress in all this is most of the speeches are live. The DNC was taped and pre-taped and out of date. And I mean, I'm telling you, this is fresh and it's, and also refreshing. Just well done. Congrats. So Nikki Haley, night one, she said, U.S. is not a racist country. I mean, she's of Indian descent, meaning as in the country of India. Senator Tim Scott, who I mentioned before, did a fabulous job. Senator Tim Scott slams Biden on his race record. Also says Democrats, they want a cultural revolution. He furthermore said that President Trump built the most inclusive economy ever. I love when the Democrats talk about deficits and the debt and the unemployment rate and all this. And it's almost like they want us to believe that, remember the TV show Dallas, where they had a really terrible season, at least that's what they said. And so what they did was, the next year, they had, I think it was JR, Bobby, whatever, it was a nightmare, you know, or it was a dream or sequence. And so that whole year was erased because it really, they wanted the viewer to realize that we know it was a bad season. We know that it was, people did not respond well to it. So that whole year really was a dream or a nightmare sequence, and that it was a reboot, a restart. So the Democrats want us to have this amnesia and a belief that the economy for the entire Trump term has been this awful, and that COVID really wasn't the problem in the creation of this, and it had nothing to do with the Democrat mayors and governors and lockdowns. So the disease, the China pandemic, and the Dem demanding lockdowns, that these weren't the cause of any unemployment issues. These weren't the impediments and the detriments to the vitality of the economy. But most people, they see through that. They know it's nonsense. How about the rescued hostages that Trump had? So Trump's doing, he's got legal immigration. He's got pardons for people that deserve a second chance. He's got rescued hostages. I mean, I just love the way that this has been interwoven and the stories are being told and it's being blended the way it is. You know the expression when they say it's good theater? I mean, it is well done. Kudos. Pam Bondi, she did a great job on night two, eviscerating the Dems and touting the accomplishments of the Trump administration. And so she gave a full throttled endorsement, and she's done a good job in serving the administration in the legal counsel, etc. You know, she was a former attorney general for the state of Florida. She's been on Fox News a lot, too. I don't know if she was, she may have been a Fox News contributor. How about the young kid that was falsely accused of harassing the Indian with the drums, the Native American with the drums, when he was the one that actually was being harassed and harangued by not only the drummer, but these other protesters? He just stood still. He won a lawsuit against, I think it was CNN, but might have also been MSNBC as well, I'm not sure. But he gave a very compelling speech and denouncing the media, the controlled progressive left-wing off-the-rails media, as well as the cancel culture. So all in all, nights one and two have been home runs. I mean, with very few exceptions. I was impressed with the content of the speeches, the presentation. Everything just moved along. Click, click, click. Now, Fox News took some heat, and they made some adjustments on night two where they were having the talk show host, the commentators, overshadowing and interpreting and commenting and interviewing sometimes when these speeches were going on. So I guess on social media, not only were they being denounced and being critiqued for this, you know, being reprimanded, they're letting others know on social media that there's OAN, there's Newsmax, there's C-SPAN, there's, and even the other left-wing networks were showing more of the convention. So I noticed that Fox made some adjustments, and who needs Tucker Carlson or Sean Hannity or whomever giving commentary? We hear enough of them, okay? So Fox blew it on the first night. But yeah, I just think that from the common man, the laborer, you know, the housewife, the teacher, the health care worker, the entrepreneur, the farmer, government reps, you know, whether it be state or federal, people that know Trump well. I just think that it's a broad coalition, broad base, not only in terms of socioeconomic and geographic, but also in terms of profession, in terms of ethnicity, race, background. I just think that this is a kind of party that I said earlier, this is an American party, a pro-American party. This is an America First party. This is a populist party. This is a party that's not just serving a country club, internationalist, elitist, Wall Street order, you know, corporate order. Barry Kudlow did a good job talking about the economy and the rebound, and the fact is that there's very few that are brighter than Larry Kudlow when it comes to economics, when it comes to finance, comes to the economy. That was a good choice. Trump brought in some A-plusers, some really great folks to advise him and also cabinet posts, but he's also had the longest and largest exodus, people going through the turnstile that did not work out so well and were not good decisions. And, of course, we'll continue exposing and opposing the demon Dems and these lunatics and radical extremists that are spewing their vile and that are looting and that are lying and that are just simply out of control. I'm Tom Donahue for Tom Donahue Reports, Tom Donahue Show.
TalkRight, the conservative app offered by TalkStream Live that caters exclusively to the conservative talk radio community. Here you'll see only talk shows and podcasts from the conservative right, all the big broadcast names and online digital shows in one place. TalkRight makes it easy to find all your favorite conservative talkers with all the upscale features you come to expect from TalkStream Live. Keep up with the fast-paced political world. Download TalkRight today from Google Play or the App Store.
Hey, is that a new music app?
Yeah, check it out. Surfer Music Discovery. It links to thousands of online stations, but the twist is you see the song names and artists that are now playing live.
That's different. No guessing. Looks like a waterfall of music.
So many formats. Rock, oldies, country, R&B, jazz, and a whole lot more.
How's that spelled?
Surfer. S-U-R-F-R.
Is it expensive?
It's free. No need to sign up or sign in.
Get the Surfer Music app free from Google Play or the App Store.
Let's get back to the Tom Donahue Show. Always authentic, independent-minded, and truth-seeking.
Welcome back, Tom Donahue. Tom Donahue Show, Tom Donahue Reports. Well, Trump's approval rises 9 points among black voters during the RNC. Rush Limbaugh says the RNC was about saving America from a race war. Democrats actively trying to promote. That was an article in Breitbart. Rush Limbaugh hails the RNC as the most diverse political convention I've ever seen. I think so. I agree. Now, Alice Johnson not only had her sentence commuted, but after that speech and after her appreciation, and what a loving and wonderful spirit that woman has after so many years locked away for a nonviolent, very minor crime. And thanks to Joe Biden for that, because Joe Biden brought the 1994 crime bill through the Senate, and he was the spearhead. And I believe he contributed mightily to the writing of that bill. So she came under attack, and it, like many of the black speakers, like many of the minorities or people of color, because they attended and they spoke at the RNC or for the RNC. So I was glad to see President Trump, after the RNC, he actually put together a little presentation and signed a pardon, not just a commutation, but a pardon. And I applaud you, Mr. President, for that. And there were tremendous speeches, widows of police officers and chiefs. There were people that experienced communist dictators and communist regimes firsthand in gulags and prisons. And how about the black athletes, whether it was Jack Brewer or Herschel Walker? Tremendous speeches. And I'll tell you, that's not only character, but courage, when you are willing to take the heat. And believe me, no matter how big they are or strong they are, they're just one man or woman. And the onslaught from the controlled, biased DNC press, and also the Hollywood celebs, social media, and just the unhinged loony left. Melania Trump, good speech, always looks glamorous. That, and there's a lot of jealousy, because if you look at, and again, it's not about looks. I mean, I know it is surface deep. I'll tell you, many of the conservative women, whether it's in the news, whether it's at the RNC, whether it's in positions of political power that are conservative, they generally are much more attractive inside and out. So I'll just leave it there. How about Nick Sandman? What a great job he did. And I love when he put the MAGA hat on at the end of his speech. And so he was very defiant still regarding cancel culture, the media's mistreatment of him. And the fact is, he won major settlements against CNN and other media outlets for their manipulated and for their menacing attacks. And it wasn't just misinformation, but it was hurtful. It was factually incorrect. It was by intention false reporting. Talk about fake news, false news, and he was libeled, and he won. Many of the RNC speakers denounced calls to defund police and accused Democrats of ignoring violent crime. Yeah, so whether it was Chinese dissidents, whether it was Cuban Americans, and even Native Americans that were standing up for our country, and the fact is that Trump reached out to them, that Trump cared about them, it was pretty amazing. Tim Scott, tremendous speech, of course. But there were just so many interesting and informative speakers. They were compelling. They were captivating. They were refreshing. Could you imagine this if this was the era of Bush, Cheney, Romney, McCain? I mean, or even some of the contemporary in-office Republicans, if it was their convention? I mean, my gosh. The fact is, beyond the information and the heartfelt stories that were told, how about the pageantry? How about the fact is it was seamless in production and it moved along so well, and it was really a tapestry of so many individuals that represented so many diverse groups that believe in this country, that believe in patriotism, that want to preserve our history and our culture, but continuing to improve, continuing to evolve into the more perfect union. Tore down the Democrat lies. They tore down the deceit and deception. And so they had to address and they had to attack in that sense. But there was a vision. There was a positive message. There were solutions. I'll tell you, this RNC, in terms of Trump being the maestro, the conductor, was fantastic. It was the best political convention I've ever seen. Now, of course, Reagan was optimistic. Reagan brought forward good messaging, good ideas, especially as it relates to optimism, as it relates to really believing in America. So I salute the former president, and I think he would be smiling looking down. So that's just my thoughts on that. And I love the fireworks at the end. Is it Trump 2020? Trump 2020? Yeah, I mean, I just thought, I have to say that there were too many Trumps that spoke. That's just the way I feel about that. Just too many. But other than that, I don't really have any criticism. I mean, I just thought that these were real people with real stories that had real beliefs and a love for our country and for our God and for our families and for our future. This was a home run, hit it out of the park, best convention we patriots could hope for. So this was the American Party. And when I say American Party, is that it's America First Party because of Donald Trump, not because of the RNC. This is Donald Trump's party at the moment and his to lose on if something were to go off the rails. But there is some polling since the convention that seems to indicate that the gap has been closing. And quite frankly, there is a couple polls that came out that are saying Trump's approval rating based on Zogby, 52%. Very high. One of the highest percentages, I think maybe even the highest he's had. Trump bump after convention jumps in the lead in a national poll. So all in all, it's very good news. Trump just has to be really careful about his attacks, careful about how he continues to message as it relates to Twitter. And also his speeches. But all the energy, Trump was everywhere during this convention. You don't see that. Normally the presidential candidate is kind of cloistered away. It's kind of unseen. It's sort of like the bride before the wedding. But Trump just said, hey, he contributed in little ways, sometimes even bigger ways, throughout the convention, making his appearance. And I just thought it was a tremendous convention, total optimism. We got the American Party versus the un-American Party, the Patriotic Party versus the unpatriotic Party. We got the Love America Party versus the Hate America Party. It is a stark contrast. There is way more than a dime's worth of difference in this election, thankfully, prayerfully. So go get them, Mr. President. We're there for you. We want to see you reelected. We want to see a second term. Hats off. Congratulations. Tremendous RNC convention. Till we meet again, Tom Donahue for Tom Donahue Reports, Tom Donahue Show, TomDonahueReports.com.
Right, the conservative app offered by TalkStream Live that caters exclusively to the conservative talk radio community. Here you'll see only talk shows and podcasts from the conservative right, all the big broadcast names and online digital shows in one place. TalkRight makes it easy to find all your favorite conservative talkers with all the upscale features you come to expect from TalkStream Live. Keep up with the fast-paced political world. Download TalkRight today from Google Play or the App Store.
Hey, is that a new music app?
Yeah, check it out. Surfer Music Discovery. It links to thousands of online stations, but the twist is you see the song names and artists that are now playing live.
That's different. No guessing. Looks like a waterfall of music.
So many formats. Rock, oldies, country, R&B, jazz, and a whole lot more.
How's that spelled?
Surfer. S-U-R-F-R.
Is it expensive?
It's free. No need to sign up or sign in.
Get the Surfer Music app free from Google Play or the App Store.